Every day, I get to connect people with the thing they love. For me, the real treat is answering fan mail. In our age of digital brevity, people actually take the time to write letters to make their support tangible, and I can feel the difference. This is especially true when it comes to letters from kids, digital natives who've supposedly evolved past pens and papers. I've actually got a letter here from a kid named Riley. He says, "Hi, I'm from Wisconsin. The Orioles are so cool." Then he gets overwhelmed. "I really wanted to write you everything, but bye." Sometimes words just fall short. Yet among our O's fan community are some celebrated storytellers, wordsmiths proud to call Baltimore home, basking in the afterglow of our first AL East championship since 1997. I reached out to a few of my favorites, asking them to reflect on all it means to count themselves among the Birdland faithful. So here you go, Baltimore. This one's for you.
To be an Orioles fan is to root for a team that reflects the city they play for.
Baltimore writer Rafael Alvarez.
To be an Orioles fan means that we grind out our wins, that somebody different is stepping up every day.
To be an Orioles fan to me is sort of like a badge of honor.
Sports journalist Milton Kent.
Here we are, this blue-collar team in this blue-collar city that's managed to hold its own against teams with a lot more money and certainly a lot more notoriety.
First of all, it means being really loyal through thick and thin.
Mystery novelist Laura Lippman.
You've really just got to be in there for the long haul.
I would have said long-suffering, but I think I have to start to amend that.
Laura Lippman's husband and creator of the HBO series The Wire, David Simon.
If I had to do one word, it might be upstart.
Alvarez, Kent, Lippman, Simon, these folks are Baltimore's literary heavy hitters. They're also long-suffering O's fans, so you can forgive them for seeming a little bit crabby.
I don't give a crap what other people understand. I don't give a crap about other cities. They can, you know, I don't need to explain anything about Baltimore to anyone who's not from here, because if you're from here, you don't need to explain, and if you're not, they'll never understand.
Obviously, the period from 98 till, like, 2012 was as, you know, was bad.
Was I pissed off? Sure. It's a fan's right to get angry. Was I ever going to do something ridiculous and switch allegiances? Never, you know. Born black and orange, die black and orange. I had a guy I met on a ship who was a Baltimorean, grew up right here in East Baltimore, and he got tired of the Orioles losing, so he became a Yankee fan. I stopped talking to him. I don't want to know people like that.
You know, I've always said that Baltimore has a southern pace and northern manners.
But remember, under those crusty exteriors are fans with tender hearts, all too used to being broken. Until a few years ago, our Orioles suffered 14 straight losing seasons.
It seemed to me for a very long time that Boston fans and Chicago Cubs fans, but really Boston fans, were a little bit in love with their own misery. I'm not in love with the misery of being an Oriole fan, but it's what I am. It's who I am. And I don't allow it to torture me.
I kind of was prepared for years in the wilderness in a bad and unhealthy way, in an enabling way. I was their perfect fan when they were bad. It got tiring at points and very frustrating, but endurance of bad baseball was not one of my problems.
I don't like the tendency to pretend that baseball is something greater. I hate that kind of pontificating.
The reality is that you don't want to get between Lippman and her vintage Brooks Robinson baseball card. She once moved and thought it was lost.
And there's this moment where a box had gone missing, and that card was in there, along with some other just, you know, very inexpensive things, but things I cared about so much, and I was almost about to weep from the idea that those things had been lost.
Brooks Robinson's O's mirror so much of what makes this year's team special. The O's are back on top and positioned for a World Series run. For grizzled fans, this is unleashing their dormant optimism. They're all smiles.
I see this team as very reminiscent of the 79 team, the Let It Be Lowenstein team, the platooning that Buck does, and people filling in, and, you know, Manny's down. Wieters has been down all year.
The cliche is that, you know, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. I don't know that there's ever been... And, you know, I don't know that there's ever been a team that I can remember that personified that more than this team.
We lost Davis, Machado, and Wieters. I mean, you know, our winning percentage went up, and it was like there's a character to this team that I'm starting to believe in, you know, that has almost nothing to do with what's on paper.
On the evening of September 16th, the Orioles clinched the AL East division crown at Camden Yards in front of a hometown crowd. For O's fans everywhere, it was a moment made all the sweeter, 17 years in the making.
I was in New York for the clinch. I strutted around Manhattan as if everybody knew I was an Oriole fan. You know, I didn't have any Oriole gear on, but they should have known, you know.
Yeah.
I was in a scout van on a film project, and everybody in the van, including the teamster driving it, were Yankee fans or Met fans. And we drove by Yankee Stadium that morning. And I was, you know what that is? That's the stadium of a team that's not going to the playoffs this year. You know, I mean, I was rubbing it in. I was like, and people were yelling at me in the van, and I'm just laughing. I'm laughing like I'm the devil, and this is my parlor. It was a great little van ride.
The night that they clinched the division, they hadn't had a clinching game at home since 1969. So to have a moment where you win something and you win a championship, and you and your fans, can revel in the moment together. And the way the club, they went to the clubhouse, they did the, you know, the sort of ridiculous thing of spraying the champagne. And then they came back out of the clubhouse and celebrated with the fans, and Adam Jones even hit a fan with a pie. That's pretty cool. And that's something, no matter what happens, you know, I mean, hopefully, the good Lord willing, you know, they'll have home field in the World Series, and they'll clinch the World Series here, and because that's never happened here before. That would be really cool. But even if it doesn't, that moment in September where they wrapped up the division in front of us and we got to celebrate at home, that's a very cool thing.
Now that we're in the postseason, the stakes are higher, and everyone in Baltimore knows that being an O's fan requires active participation. It's right there in our team song. Everyone I spoke with is doing their best to make the magic happen.
If I don't have a hot dog in the second inning, they might not win. Yeah, because I've had the last two times that I've had a hot dog in the second inning, they've won.
I just, you know, I tend to stay in one place, and I stay quiet to the point where my wife will come into the room, and she literally has to look at the screen to see what the score is, because she can't, I hope, she can't tell from my reaction who's winning or who's losing.
I don't live and die by the sports page. As a matter of fact, I sort of feel that the Orioles do better if I'm not overwhelmingly caught up with them. In this whole season, I remember when, you know, they were doing well in April, and like, okay, well, that probably won't last. And then they were doing well around the All-Star break, and, you know, I think, okay, well, yeah, but we're only halfway. And I was away in August and was really actually kind of buried in work while I was away. And I flew home right before Labor Day. I said to my husband, I was like, so how are the Orioles doing? Like, really, like, oh, it's like a secret. How are the Orioles doing? I don't want them to hear me talking about them. I don't want them to get all nervous. And, you know, he's like, well, we're, you know, do you have a really commanding lead? But it's like, let's not jinx it.
Rafael Alvarez claims he has no superstitions. But one glance at the all-orange room in his home where we met and the all-orange outfit he was wearing speaks to a steadfast tradition which I wouldn't dare disrupt.
I listen to every single game on the radio. I'm either at the stadium or I'm listening on the radio as I write every evening at the kitchen table. I don't watch on television.
Okay, I have to issue a warning here. I'm about to get kind of mushy, people. On the eve of the playoffs, I'm standing by an eighth-floor window inside the warehouse building. I like hiking up here to the highest place inside Oriole Park after my shifts in the customer service department just to catch a few plays before heading home. I like to think of it as my secret crow's nest atop of Birdland. I know this is radio, so you'll have to take my word for it. This view of the field is far and away the best in the ballpark. It's just magnificent, especially since you can take it all in from a window in the men's restroom. The park is empty, but I can already hear the roaring of the postseason crowd to come. Their jubilant "Oh!" during our national anthem echoes across the sea of green seats, soon to be replaced by a tidal wave of black and orange awesomeness. And despite being raised kosher, I can even smell the pungent haze of Boog's pit beef mixed with Old Bay, which have seasoned many humid summer times, seeping into my skin. Authentic Baltimore baseball cologne. This year, the mild chill of fall is not a wistful cold escorting a season that could have been. It's invigorating, like a breath of fresh air, crackling with possibility for all of us here in Baltimore. What I've learned from the countless fans I've connected with is that Baltimore is rich with the passion needed to overcome the most dire of challenges. Our city has what it takes to rally around common ground, and I want to challenge us to think about how we might harness this unyielding spirit beyond the ballpark. If you remember from the beginning of the story, I began by reading a fan letter from a kid named Riley. I'll borrow my sign off from him. Myself and everyone I spoke with had more to say, but we've run out of time. So bye. See ya at the yard. For The Signal, I'm Ira Gowanter.